Shake, 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 shake it.
Shake it. The song is not in my key, I'll be honest.
Yeah, neither in my key, but you don't have to be in key to sing. Whoever said you needed to be on key?
Are we going to karaoke?
God, fuck, you and I should totally go to karaoke. But which kind of karaoke are we going to go to?
What do you mean, which kind of karaoke? The kind...
The karaoke that's in front of everybody, or the karaoke where we have a private room?
The one in front of everybody.
No, but the ones in the private room, you get, like, you can serve up food, you can get drinks, you can have, like, you can sing problematic songs that...
You can do all of those on stage in front of real people will love you. And they'll say, whoa, Blake, your singing was so good. Congrats. Here's two beers and a water.
No, here's the thing, though. I am in the camp that private room karaoke bars have a way better selection than the onstage ones. Because, like, when you're on...
I'll give you that.
Because, like, when you do the onstage ones, it's like they have to have the very clearly not royalty-free, but, like, the very clearly not the original, like, recording of it.
Not always. It's better these days. Everybody knows how much karaoke is beloved.
I mean, it's beloved because you're drinking and have, like, five tacos in you. Drinking.
What's your go-to karaoke jam?
My go-to karaoke jam? I love Turning It On because I...
Turning It On by who?
I like turning this one on, not because it is fun to sing, but because I fucking love the audience reaction. Tequila.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, because, that's great.
Did you... Because there's only one lyric.
Dude, this is why you have to be doing it in front of a crowd. Because you're right. I've seen people in karaoke bars hit that jam. And let me tell you, they hit it with the right enough of energy.
Oh, ooh, people fucking go bad.
The whole
crowd
pops.
No, but, like, but the
tequila.
But or it's only extremes.
Doing that in room karaoke probably sucks shit. Because it is forcing everybody to sit there and listen to you say tequila. And, like,
it's, yeah, okay, you bring up a good point.
Six people with you?
You bring up a good point. No, like, I love tequila because it's only extremes. It's like either the whole bar is into it or the whole bar is waiting for you to be done. And it's just very fun to be in the center of just such an extreme emotion like that.
That's what I'm saying, is you love the attention so much. The idea that you came in here like room karaoke is better.
You're right. I am an attention whore. Speaking of being an attention whore, hello and welcome to Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast where we take your lovely video games from all over the internet and turn them into the next AAA video game titles, and also sometimes just talk about, like, the wild, weird shit we're up to. Who am I joined by?
You're joined by AJ Hart. Ooh. I made it back. The last time the listeners heard me, it probably was me saying, shit, I'm late for work. And then we disappeared for a week. Hi, folks. I made it to work that time. And now we took a week off because the schedule was abhorrent.
Also, because we were both sick, like sick as dogs. You were just.
Oh, my God. I forgot I was sick last week.
Because
again.
We were in a fucking fugue state of weird dystopia. Not dystopia. Of limbo.
Yeah, I was sick again and I had to power through my two jobs because the thing about getting a new job is that they don't give you sick days. So everyone's like, oh no, don't go to work when you're sick. Use your sick days. Well, what do you do if you don't have them yet?
Yeah, you can't.
You've not accrued a sick day.
That's so weird. So wait, I have to check my privilege here, but, like, every time I've started a job, it has come with PTO and sick days right off the bat. So is sick days just not a common thing
you
to get?
You have to accrue the hours based on hours that you've worked. So, like, for every hour or, like, 8 hours you work, you get, like, 20 minutes of sick day time.
That's
or one
disgusting.
Hour of sick day time per week. And it is accrued slowly. It gets worse. You are not able to start accruing sick days until 3 months after your start day. So you have to work somewhere for 3 months. And then you can start accruing hours that you can use for sick days.
Fuck. Hey, bitch, I know you're...
So you don't get your
you
first
polio,
actual sick day? Like, you don't have 8 hours even to be like, I have a cold and should stay in for one day?
Yeah.
You don't even have access to that
what
until, like,
fuck?
I don't know, 4 months in?
What a fucking dystopia. That's weird. That's really weird to me. Well, AJ, I salute you. The audience salutes you. Our capitalist regime also salutes you for
anything I could do for the capitalist regime, sir.
Anything.
The cogs must continue to spin no matter what gets caught up in there.
Even if you are the cog, it's got to continue.
I will be a good cog, and I will not let anything stop me from spinning in that machine.
All right,
limbs be damned.
AJ, besides being sick, have you been playing any video games lately? Or is it just like job and sleep, job and sleep?
Actually, no. I did start dabbling with a new game recently.
What game?
So my partner fired up Disgaea 1, the very first Disgaea game. Now, Disgaea is a game franchise that I was scared off of because I thought it was a parody of turn-based RPGs. Mm-hmm. It turns out it isn't, actually. It's a really cool and clever tactics game.
Disgaea game. Oh.
With incredible writing.
That's a strange way to spell that. Disgaea 7? That is not at all how I spelled that. I mean, but then again, I did kind of spell it pretty whack.
How did you spell Disgaea?
D-I-S-G-U-I-A-H-A.
As in Disgaea.
But now I'm looking at it would be like pronounced Disgaea. Because like Guiana. So Disgaea. All right, whatever. Tell me about this game.
So Disgaea. You play as Disgaea? This little dude. So you take place in a demon world. Like 3 years ago, the demon king was killed, and you play as the demon prince, Laharl. And he wakes up from a 3-year nap, and he's like, "What's good? What's poppin'?" And his assistant comes up, and his assistant Etna is like, "Listen up, homeboy. Demon king's dead. He died like 3 years ago, and all of the other demon kings want a piece of the action. They want the other demon nobles want to be demon king." Mm-hmm. And Laharl's like, "But it's my birthright. So I think I want to be the demon king instead." Mm-hmm. And so you're playing this game where you're just trying to go around to the other demon kings and beat the nards off of them
beat
so that
their
they
ass.
Know to respect you as demon king. That's the story. And that's kind of as deep as the story gets, to my understanding. And yes, it sounds silly. The game knows it's silly. It's funny.
I'm very
Your
much...
Your main unit that you are given at the beginning of the game is 3 penguins that you can pick up and throw as bombs.
I was just looking at the GameStop store page for it, and like all of the stills are just weird chibi nonsense. There's like cat girls. He's posing with like a flower in his mouth. Also the what that's excellent.
So what's the game?
Yeah,
I hear you all asking.
Yeah,
this is a tactics game where with a huge push and like interest in exploring area of effect moves. Mm-hmm. So a lot of tactics game that I've played, it's kind of just about like positioning your units correctly and making sure that you have the correct type advantage for your units. And just making sure that you're not like messing up turn wise and turn order and positioning. But this game, as your characters level up, they will get special abilities that are areas of effect. One of the first ones I have an example of is Laharl. Pretty early on, you get 2 moves. One move is a dash attack where he jumps forward 3 spaces, attacks all of the enemies in that row, and then goes back to his landing position. He also then later on gets an ability about like jumping straight into the air and then exploding and doing damage to the 4 cardinal directions around him.
And you said this is a grid system,
and
right?
So this is how you're thinking about the game most of the time, is you're actually thinking about like not even just like what unit and typing and advantages I have, but what positions do I need to put my characters in so that I can have the most amount of enemies in my area of effect.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is really cool.
So
for
it's just
game.
Like a mainly like a positioning game to get your most bang for your buck.
Yeah, but because it's all area of effect moves, it feels a little bit different than like most games that I've played. Because like in Fire Emblem, you're always thinking about like positioning, getting caught out just enough to make your enemies mm-hmm. approach you, but not diving in to be too stupid.
No, this totally makes I can totally see why this is different. Because when you think of like a tactics game, you think of like, okay, this one person is going to attack this other one person. This person's gonna, or this, they have multiple attacks, but they have to like select different targets. This is like thinking of like a kind of like more power fantasy than you would normally see in like a tactics thing of like, oh, I'm powerful, so I'm going to kill multiple enemies at once, rather than it being like this precise sniping sort of fighting. Interesting.
Yeah, it's really cool. The writing is really charming. The character sprites are wonderful, and the tactics are unique enough that, like, they aren't complex enough. Like, I think as far as, like, sitting down and playing it together, me and my partner would be getting something deeper out of, like, a thing like Fire Emblem because, mm-hmm. like, the risk is so high.
Yeah, yeah.
But something like this is fun to look at. In my absolutely catatonic state of being post-double job, it's nice to be able to just, like, watch all these pretty colors go crazy.
AJ's burnt brain go burr. Oh man, dude, excellent. I love looking at this. Like, all of the colors are like super poppy and super fun. I'm normally
designs are super good too.
I was just gonna say I'm super not like into the like into chibi aesthetics most of the time. I just think proportionally it's very weird, but the mm-hmm. times that they do like get fully drawn is just very good, very fun. I love this. Yeah, like
there's
little
a lot of fun
snow
shading
lady.
In these characters.
Excellent.
Also, look up, if you're by a computer, which I assume you are, look up Disgaea 3, because Disgaea 3's main character I just think is so cool looking.
You users at home, let's look up Disgaea 3 together.
Disgaea
Fuck,
3
this looks
main
so
character.
Edgy. This looks like if Death from Darksiders just got turned into a chibi.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about main character from Disgaea 3,
Fuck,
who I don't even
so
know the name
cool.
of. He's a weird because he's got like a red jacket over his shoulders that gives like the cool Demon King cloak vibe.
Yeah.
But then he's got like a school uniform top that gives like a delinquent energy.
Yes, very
much. But then
he's
wearing like business boy shorts. But then underneath the business boy shorts, he has compression shorts that give like a much more athletic vibe.
Yeah.
He's got these incredible
just mixed
high
signals
tops,
the whole time.
And then he has glasses. Like, this character is so
But also
good.
His hair is like super disheveled and messy. So it's like, there's just like conflicting things everywhere you look on him. You know what he kind of reminds me of?
Equal parts business boy and equal parts athletic delinquent.
You know what? Strangely, what his design reminds me of, it reminds me of Blue Exorcist. Do you remember that anime from forever
you know
ago?
I'm getting a little bit of Blexorcist vibes.
Yeah, just like, well, like the idea of, and that's just kind of like a popular trope in anime of like wearing the school uniform like underneath your delinquent clothes or like a cooler jacket or something like that. That's pretty like all the characters from Yu-Gi-Oh! They all kind of wear their school outfit throughout the series, but then like have things on top of it or like wear the coat as a jacket or some shit. Fuck, this is like such a cool design. I love them. Super goofy.
I think I'm going to hop into the Disgaea franchise at least enough to get to this character. So keep your eyes peeled on me getting through Disgaea 1, 2, and 3.
He has pumpkin pins? What the fuck? I love this kid. His pin
is pins all pumpkins.
All of his pins are pumpkins, bro. Fucking rules. What?
Well, he is the demon lord or something.
Excellent.
I guess.
Is this kind of like a Final
his
Fantasy thing
Mal.
Where it's like every game is kind of set in a different world, or is it all like continuous?
I don't know. I'm only playing the first one. Oh, Mao is the number one honor student and son of the chairman at Evil Academy. His goal in life is to defeat his father, the overlord.
The evil. I just saw his shoes for the first time, and just how high
the shoes are so good.
How it looks like Nike shoes, but like the collars are just massive, like boot massive. Fucking love
it, dude.
Love
his design rules.
Excellent.
So I'm gonna be playing through these games just to get to my boy Mao. Mao heads represent. I have known nothing about him other than that his design is maybe one of the coolest things ever of all time.
You don't? Yeah, I'm assuming his personality is gonna be very fun to experience.
Dude, the game is so funny. Laharl in the first game, Laharl is the Demon King, but he is surrounded by people who just do not give a shit about their jobs, and he is so exhausted by it. It's wonderful.
Excellent. Fucking excellent.
What about you? What have you been playing, boss man?
So I have been on first, I just want to touch base. I did not watch Kamen Rider. I know that was my homework, but I was I was very sick.
Did you start it?
No, I just said I didn't watch it. I need to turn it on. I need to watch it. I actually have not watched like any TV in like the last week. Because like I just slept so fucking much last week. I was like on and off sleep. It was weird. Like I would like wait, I would go to sleep at like 3 a.m. I would wake up at 12 p.m. and then just be like, just fucking exist and I don't know, build minis or like read or play games, which brings me to the game that I'm playing. I'm giving Inscription another shot, and you and I've talked about this a little bit. I think if you're a new listener, you don't remember, I fell in love with Inscription, and then it did a change, and then I immediately dropped it because I was like, no, no, bad. Go back to the other thing. I don't like this.
Are we far enough in the world that we could talk about Inscription spoilers?
You know, the game's been out like for 2 years, so yes. So
is it safe to assume that the people that care about the surprise have all experienced the surprise and now we can talk about what the game does?
I'll still give a spoiler warning. Like, hey, if you're going to play Inscription, we're going to talk about it a little bit. Just skip ahead like 10 minutes or something and we'll get into designing some games. So
because Inscription has a really great opening.
It's fucking like, for those that don't know, or I guess if you don't know, then you're going to want spoilers. So, you know, Inscription, you start in the cabin.
You start in the cabin and you are playing a roguelike deck builder against like a masked individual.
Yes.
And this is the part that everybody talked about for a long time when this game came out, is you get to play this little roguelike element where like it's a roguelike and a deck builder with a lot of really fun systems. And then you get, at any moment, you could stand up from the table and interact with the world as an escape room.
Yes.
And this is kind of where like everybody got hush hush and everybody stopped talking about what happens after the escape room.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you clear the roguelike a couple of times, I think technically you only need to finish it once because you need to finish the escape room to get out.
Yes.
You'll hit a certain plot point where the game kind of reveals its hand and it says, hi, this isn't just this. This video game
Shifts genres entirely. I mean, well, not genres, but like aesthetic and...
No, I would argue it changes genres.
Really?
First one is a roguelike deck builder, and the second one is a deck building adventure game.
That's true. Yeah.
The game reveals its hand, you reset the game's files, and then the game loads up, and you are in a top-down adventure game.
A la like it's Pokemon still, 2.
Yeah, it's almost a complete rip of, well, not a complete rip, but it reminds me a lot of the old Yu-Gi-Oh! Game Boy Advance games.
Oh, yeah. Like just the big overworld and you walk around and challenge people to duels.
It's a big overworld. You ask people to duels. You get to go to stores to upgrade your deck. You could pause the game at any moment and go into your deck menu and choose what cards you want to slot in or out of your deck. And you're running an adventure game now where you get to run into characters and monitor your deck and crack packs.
It is very cool lore wise, like how the world opens up and why you go from the cabin to like, and how they prep all of the characters that you're going to meet in the adventure game.
It also adds into like three different play styles that all follow the rules of the card game that was previously established.
Yes.
Except now you're able to like preload your deck and build different archetypes.
Oh, totally. You know, and this is so weird, but this actually, you mentioned Yu-Gi-Oh, but that's kind of like how the lore of Yu-Gi-Oh is too. And I'm literally just realizing this right now, but like the card game Yu-Gi-Oh was based off of like an old like game with stones that the Egyptians played in universe, not like our Egyptians. So it's kind of cool that we're seeing like the opening of the game is like, hey, here's all the basics. And then like, in this other world, this is where all of those things came from and inspired that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, so my qualm with it is I fell in love with the just aesthetically, tonally, texture wise, gameplay wise. I just fucking love the escape room card game aesthetic where like you can just hear the rain of pitter patter on like the cabin outside, the high contrast environment, like the silhouetted figure, all of like just the dire horror elements to it. It just was so it was so refined to such an extreme point that this, that is the thing I fell in love with, that when it left, I was like, oh, it just was like very, it's like, oh, how's this next thing going to compare? And I think the reason,
hey Blake, you want to see something that'll blow your fucking brain out.
Yeah, I know.
No, thank you.
We get it. We no, but it's, yeah, no, that's how I reacted. But the reason I want to come back to it is because I think about that and of like how well refined the horror element was and how well refined the opening segment was. It's like that same team is behind the second segment. There has to be the same level of care.
Is just as well refined.
Yeah, and I really want to do that. And also, it's like once I beat the game, I hear there's like an endless mode, so like I can have my cake and eat it too. I can do both.
There is an endless mode once you get your clear. That is an endless mode called Casey's Mod.
Ooh, okay. That's interesting.
You might know what that means. Yeah, okay. I was about to say, you might know what that means depending on how far you are in the game.
I don't know what it means exactly, but I remember seeing Casey's card on a run of the first segment. And I saw it in the final fight with Leshy.
Right, because he says something about like, oh, here are some other people that
have
met fates like you.
Yep. And then I saw Casey's one of the cars they threw down. Interesting. God, that's another fucking fascinating thing of like...
this is why I'm so mad that you didn't hook onto this game in the beginning. I know. Blake, did you know that there was a whole ARG?
Yeah.
You love ARGs.
I do.
I watched 3-hour videos about the ARGs of this game. Did you know that they added another ARG element when the Switch port came out?
What? No way. ARG inscription. All right. What's the 3-hour video? Don't look
it up yet. No. Stop.
Oh, okay.
You're going to get spoilers if you look at it now.
Okay. I'll go back to looking at images of our boy from Disgaea.
Because let me tell you, just because the game revealed their hand does not mean that that game is done revealing hands.
You're right. It is very, I'm very excited. I've been.
Where are you at right now then?
Dude, you know what's wild? Since this is my second time running through the first segment, I actually, on literally my first playthrough of it, I ended up getting all the way to the fishmonger, and it literally said, nope, too soon, and insta-killed me. And I'm like...
Oh, did it put out 8 fucking bears?
It put 8 sharks out, and it was like, oh, well...
Oh, no!
Well, I guess I can't go forward, which totally makes sense, because they're like the bones mechanic wasn't in place yet. I didn't like have any of the escape room stuff.
That.
Huh?
You could get past that. When I played that through that game and the game didn't like what I was doing, it would put out a board state full of bears, like 8 bears.
Jesus Christ.
And then me and when I was playing it, we had a wolf that dealt 8 damage. And so we made the wolf fly and got to clear the fight anyway.
Yeah. there's some like cheeky ways of getting around, like getting around shit, which is like super fun to experience on my second playthrough. Cause like now that I know the mechanics, I'm like, oh, I'm going to play completely differently than I did before. Like, as an example, before we jump into because we should jump into designs of games.
We do need to jump into video games.
The way I would play my previous run is like anytime my opponent laid out a monster, I made sure to put a monster in front of it to defend or attack. But I'm realizing you don't need to fucking defend if you can just one shot your guy. So like,
exactly.
put a monster into an empty space. Do a couple modifiers or whatever, and then just one shot. It's like no need to defend because like you end up make the games like last way fucking longer when you play that way.
Deal more damage. Don't worry about defense. You have nothing to protect.
Strike
them.
A dick. All right, AJ, do you want to give the first game submission or do you want me to give the first game submission?
Why don't you give the first submission?
All right, this one comes to us from... Actually, which one do I want to do? I want to do this one. This one comes to us on Reddit from Carsonic Atnip. By the way, if you like the show and want to feature one of your own video game ideas, follow us on social media. We're on everything. Give us a game submission idea or even come to our Discord where we're talking.
We're not on everything. All of the Twitter competitors, none of them seemed like they were landing yet. So I haven't picked which Twitter competitor.
What are you talking about? Thread is alive.
No, it's not.
It's alive, not well, but alive.
Man, I'm not going to lie, too. I thought we were going to have to make a Blue Sky account because a lot of people were Blue talking Sky? About that for like a good 3 weeks straight. And I was like, this really? Is it. This could be it.
I thought it was like 3 days max, like Thread. Where like the numbers on Threads are fucking crazy.
Everyone was interested in Blue Sky, and I would hear whispers of it because it was invite only. And then they made it public, and no one said anything about it. Everyone was like quick to be like, catch me on Blue Sky. I got an account now.
Yeah.
And like they were like, whoa, you got an invite for Blue Sky. Congrats to you. I'll give you a follow there. And then once they made Blue Sky open, nobody said anything about swapping to Blue Sky.
Yeah, like,
and so now I guess that we're not going there. No. I don't know what we're doing.
No, I think we are all waiting for the next, what's it called? Social media blow up. Like we're waiting for the next TikTok. You know what I mean? Like what's the social media app the kids are going to convince us to use? All right, this game submission comes to us from Reddit, from Carsonic at Nip. Due to a baffling mix-up, you will be competing in a new event, Olympic dumpster diving. AJ, really quickly, I don't know if you and I had a similar childhood in this regard, but do you remember how our childhood media would romanticize the idea of living in a dumpster?
Yeah, the Grouch lived in a dumpster and his life seemed pretty dope.
Yeah, and also like anytime like the kid ran away from home, they would build their own house in like a really nice looking dumpster, or like they would just like kind of live there. I don't know. There's something I read this submission and it awakened like a memory in mine. I didn't know I had of like, it would be kind of fun to dumpster dive.
Didn't
wouldn't
one
it?
Of the Ed and Eddie boys live in a dumpster?
They had a van in the dump, which is along the same lines. Where Ed didn't live in a dumpster, but his room looked like a fucking dumpster. It was like, okay. He had like a whole weird cave system under his bed. And just like other
Shark Tale, somebody lived in a dumpster and their life seemed pretty dope too.
Also Grouch, no, he lived in a dumpster.
He lived in a hermit crab shell. He didn't live in a dumpster.
Oh,
never mind.
I mean, that's,
yeah, I already said the Grouch. Try again.
The dumpster of the sea is just a hermit crab shell. But no, like there's something
it
about.
It doesn't help that that one movie, Elmo Goes to Grouchland, existed, where like everybody. Elmo fell into the dumpster and he found a cool utopia where everyone hangs out.
Oh, oh God. Oh, Jesus. Hold on 1 second. Somehow my foot got caught in my USB mic cable. All right, I'm good. Yes, he fell through the dumpster and went to like the shitty land where everybody was mad, right? Everybody was also grouchy.
Oh, it wasn't a utopia? I thought everyone liked being mad there.
What?
Like Ireland.
Oh, I mean, I guess you're right, because their normal is being mad is like okay, or is like their default. So
I don't
like
know. I haven't seen the movie, I'll
matter,
be honest.
A matter of perspective. All right, so but coming back to this game, I'm picturing in the vein of like our childhoods, I want to make a game like a flash game that would exist on like cartoonnetwork.com or like nickelodeon.com, and it is all about dumpster diving. I would love to do some sort of collectathon gotcha style game where like there are 100 unique items to collect and you have to do this dumpster diving mini game to collect each of these items. The game, the cool game that should not be made element of this is because it's a flash game, your progress is not saved when you close the tab. So it's either you collect all 100 items and stick with this game for however long it takes to do that, or you got to start all over because your mom said, hey, time to get off the computer, and you have to close the tabs.
Okay. I like this.
And I'm thinking it has to just be like really, because like whenever you hear of dumpster diving, you hear of like people like finding weird treasures and oddities, like old lamps or old like treasures and stuff.
I mean, I come from the Pacific Northwest. I'm familiar with dumpster diving being a way of people finding food.
Yeah, but I don't want to lean into that because that's
that's kind of dystopian, isn't it?
Yes, I think I want to stay. That is a very real thing, and it is fucked up. We live in a society that where that has to happen for some people. I kind of want to stay in the chowder flapjack era.
A necessity for some people. It's more of a commentary on food waste, just because like people will throw away entire. Dude, there was a bakery next to my old place.
Yeah.
Every day I would walk past the trash can by the bus stop, and it was just filled with loaves of bread.
You're right. And I've seen people do. I remember where was it that I saw this? It was like on some TV show talking about a guy who dumpster dived to find food for his chickens. That's how he fed like his farm animals was
cool.
Yeah. No, he would like do exactly what you're saying. He'd like go to the local bakery, like get a bunch of like bread items, and then he would just like crumple it up and throw it to his chickens, and that's how he would like save money feeding his livestock.
Dude, so many places have to throw out food at the end of the day. It's crazy.
Oh yeah,
I've actually discovered a new hookup at the mall that I work at. I'm like two doors down from a Cinnabon, and they have to throw away all their food that they don't sell at the end of the day. Cinnabon. You know what that means for me at 9 o'clock at night when I'm closing up shop?
Free Cinnabon,
baby.
Fuck, dude, you're gonna put on all your winter weights in the spring. Oh no.
It's not my fault. I'm just doing my part to keep food waste down.
You know what? That's a good way of thinking about it. I like that. My my version of that is I don't get it for free, but if you, and this is, I'm sure other people have to know this hookup, but there is a Japanese like grocery store near my house that I love going to for like my melon sodas and just other various things. They have a hot food section where like you can get these pre-made bento boxes. If they don't sell by like, I think it's something like 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the day, those are going to get thrown out. So they like put them 75% off just to hope people get them out.
Price bento, yes.
Dude, and it's amazing. Like the shit can stay in my fridge for like maybe 2-3 days or whatever. So I just like, I go there and they're normally like 10 bucks, right? So I get them for like, I can get them for like $3-4, and I just have like some bento boxes in my fridge and be like, all right, this is my dinner and lunch for the next couple days. And you just get like, the variety is fucking awesome of like these great like beef teriyaki bowls, and also get like these nice spicy ahi tuna bowls, and just like, oh, it fucking rules. It's super good. Super, super good. Excellent. All right. So what route do we want to? Okay, let's actually, I have an idea. I want to combine, yeah. I want to combine two of these things.
Okay.
And we have to really lean into the cartoony energy of it because it could very much, actually, no, I have a way of doing this to where it doesn't feel depressing. We
go
are a little inventor, like a little kid inventor. And we've invented the primo dumpster diving robot that is powered by the thrown away food. So
he's a dumpster diving robot that like dumpster dives, finds food, adds fuel.
Yes. And also, that allows it to continue searching. So it's like,
yes,
there is,
I love this.
There's an element of you need to, every time you dumpster dive, you have like a limited compartment that only has like, you know, four spaces available. So when you dumpster dive,
how is this in the Olympics?
How is this? We'll figure that out in a minute. Okay. How about this? It's like we're all competing robots. So like I've built my robot, you've built your robot.
The Robot Olympics.
And we are competing to be like, okay, who can find more things, but also last longer. And this allows us to have different attacks to this game. So like you and I are playing this game. You have this way of playing the game where you're like, all right, fuck it. I'm not going to get any fuel. I am just all about maximizing my inventory to get just the best items in that inventory. So what if I run out of fuel earlier, I have like more primo items right out the gate. But my methodology is like, all right, I'll get the smaller, low quality items, but I'll make sure to stock up on fuel during every dive so I can continue to dive for longer and just collect more and more small things that eventually add up to it.
All right. I love this. Can I offer one solution that will get rid of my caveat about how do we make this in the Olympics?
Okay, go for it.
It's not robots. You are a human being dumpster diving and trying to find treasure.
Mm-hmm.
But you also need fuel in order to keep dumpster diving.
Okay.
Ideally, fruits and vegetables to keep yourself healthy, but also carbs. Carbo loading is good, too. And so it's a dumpster dive where you have your health meter and your hunger meter. Your hunger meter, which will be filled up by carbs that you find in the trash. And then your health meter, which will be filled up by fruits and vegetables that you find in the trash. And also you're looking for goodies. Whoever gets the best goodies at the end of it then gets scored by judges.
Let me throw you another wrinkle in that same vein. Because we are eating food out of garbage, there's a chance of you getting poisoned or your character getting poisoned. And that dive is completely ruined when you get poisoned. So you need to weigh, you found this veggie. How does it look? Like it's been expired for like a week. All right, you'll take your chances. Has it been expired for 2 weeks? No, you're not going to take your chances. But maybe you're running out of fuel and you have to like take the chance and be like, all right, I might poison myself. And I might lose. They might have to fish me out of this dumpster and I lose all of my inventory, but at least I'll get to do another run and my run doesn't stop here.
Okay, here's my other question.
Mm-hmm.
How is this judged? Because Olympics come down to two types of judging. There is metric-based judging. Think shot put, think track, think most feats of force. And then there is vibe judging, like ice skating.
Yeah.
Or
actually, gymnastics. No, what's it called? I don't think ice skating is vibe judging. I think certain tricks are worth like more points. Like if you do an axel. Is it not
vibe? I could have sworn it's a vibe
judging.
I think
it is judged off of both because like a triple axel or whatever is like much harder to do than like gliding and sticking your back leg up in the air. You know what I mean? And I think it is both because you're right. Cause like they pick the music, they pick the outfits, they pick like what style they are going to do it. But I mean
like the points are given like by judges based on vibes. Like the judge is like, that's a 10.
Well, that's what I mean. Like it is like if you as the skater come up with good vibes, it will be noticed by the judge. And those vibes are created by the outfit, the music, how you connect each of these.
High dive is also vibe-based judging.
Yeah, how the fuck, like, that's a great example. Like, how do you judge a dive?
How do you measure a dive?
Wow, his back was, like, super straight when he hit the water. Woo.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so is Olympic diving a vibe-based judging, or is it a metric-based
It has to be
judging?
Metric, because the idea is, like, we're collecting. So, like, you have to be like, hey, actually, you know what would be super funny? What if we take this and then, like, it turns into Antiques Roadshow when you get out of the dumpster? So, it's like, you don't know what you're finding. You might find a knockoff, like, piece of china. Or you found an original, like, a piece of china from the 1800s. So, after you dive and you keep in account, like, all of the fuel and all of, like, your energy and, like, the size of your inventory, you then bring that piece up, it is then judged, and you find out, oh, what is this thing worth? And then that worth will be added to your total. So it is metric.
Okay, I like that.
And I love the idea of keeping in mind, like, what's the other thing that, like, all of the Flash games from CartoonNetwork.com did? There was, like, small little enhancements you can do. Like think of what is that porta potty cannon or
porta potty launcher,
where it's like you buy a new engine or you buy better wheels, shit like that. You have to buy like more inventory space, a bigger stomach, or like maybe some sort of like filter that you put over your mouth that gets rid of poison or some shit, like a juicer where you get to like juice the things you make or just shit like that, you know, just like little, and that's the money you get. Oh, this is actually a really another fun wrinkle I'd love to do.
Like,
yes.
Potty Racers is still online.
Fuck, we should, dude, let's do a let's play of that. That'd be super fun, actually. Fuck, a let's play where
right
we're
now,
just playing, I'm
firing
like,
it up.
A let's play where we just do, like, all of our, fuck, I would play the Jawbreaker machine from Ed and Eddie From CartoonNetwork.com. Oh, I love that game.
I don't know if the Cartoon Network ones are still there, but I can tell you the Potty Racers
there
is
there. There is a website where you can play old Cartoon Network games. They downloaded the Flash or whatever.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, I remember like looking into this like a few months ago. Here's my other wrinkle, though. So after you pick up the antique out of the garbage and then take it up and it is judged Antiques Roadshow style, those points become your currency to buy upgrades. But guess what? Those points are also like your competing points. So it's like I have 1,000 points. You have 800 points. I could spend $300 on an upgrade, but now that puts me behind you in our competition. So like
how big are the lobbies and how often are we resetting them? Cause can I pitch you on this? It's what if it's like a daily thing? You get a daily run.
Yes. I think that's the way we have to do it of like,
but you're judged weekly.
Oh, so like you can do upgrades throughout the week. And then,
you're eating into your score for the end of the week.
Yes. And there will be like, hey, there will be different like seasonal things of like, hey, this is the week of like lamps. Lamps are fucking huge.
Lamps are big this week. It's lamp week.
That's what you're hunting for. Or like, hey, China's big this week. Hey, old board games are in this week. Old TVs are in this week. Just shit like that. And that's a really clever way of doing weeklies, actually. Weeklies and dailies is just like making sure you're competing, and then you do like a Peloton method where it's like you can see how all of your friends are scoring and stuff like that.
Absolutely, you could keep your eye on the scoreboard so you know whether or not you need to have like, it's like, all right, it's Thursday, I need a good run today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because like if I don't have a great run today, like there's no way I'm gonna be good enough on Friday to take the week.
Hell yeah. All right, let's put a pin in this. Give me one game from you, because I know we have to cut a little bit early this week. I want to hear one more game from you, or one game from you.
Biblically accurate pet Stop me if you heard this one before. Biblically accurate pet rock says Minecraft with triangles.
Minecraft with triangles. All right. What are you picturing? Do you want to just do like an aesthetic 1980s synthwave version of Minecraft?
No.
Oh.
Here's what I'm imagining.
Okay.
Do you know how familiar are you with the book? Oh, what the fuck was the name of this book? Cat's Cradle.
Cat's Cradle? I mean, I've heard the term Cat's Cradle, but like because of the song, I think. Cats in the Cradle.
But you're not familiar with the Kurt Vonnegut book.
No, never heard of it. What's it about?
So Kurt Vonnegut's, what a good question. It's a Kurt Vonnegut book. So what is it about, really, if you think about it?
I don't know. I've never heard of Kurt Vonnegut.
You never read Kurt Vonnegut?
No. Maybe. I don't know. Lots
of people read Kurt Vonnegut in high school because he wrote Slaughterhouse-Five. He wrote Breakfast of Champions.
I read one book in high school, and that was Great Gatsby. Everything else I read the Spark Notes on. No wonder my English is so bad these days. I did not do well in English class.
So here's the elephant in the room during Cat's Cradle.
Yeah.
Is that some guy sits down and he creates a weapon. After the nukes were made, the scientist makes a tool that they call Ice Nine. And Ice Nine has this unique ability where it says, what if you could rebuild or restack molecularly water? Because the difference between water and ice is just how it's stacked.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there's a bioweapon that is created that if it were to touch water, it could instantly freeze this water and all of the water attached to it.
Oh, okay.
I want to put in something in Minecraft where if this thing were to get broken and cracked open, it would turn every cube in that game into a batch of triangles.
Oh, it's like a mod that this isn't a game. This is a mod where you
this
can,
is a mod that would instantly double, if not triple, the processing requirements of Minecraft. Because everybody has all these beautiful stills and videos where they're like, look, we put ray tracing on Minecraft. And it's like, dog, what if we doubled it?
It doesn't work like that.
What do you mean it doesn't work like that? You
can't. It just means that all of the squares, which are four-sided... No, how many, wait, hold on. How many sides are on a square? It's six-sided.
Six.
It would just go, it would just, everything would cut in half because it would lose three sides. So everything would just get fucking nuked. It wouldn't increase the processing power. It would destroy everybody's shit.
I'm not saying it would turn the cube into a triangle, Blake. I'm saying that it would say, well, there's a cube here. And this cube is now a collection of triangles rather than a square cube.
But then it would stay a cube then, because it's polygonal.
But the computer would need to remember that it's a bunch of triangles and not a cube.
So you don't...
It would be a visual... Visually, nothing would change.
But it's...
On the inside, your computer would start having an asthma attack.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So it's like you don't know what's infected. It's just like one cube is slowly taking over.
Sometimes you look at your house and you're like, it's crazy. My house, like if I look at my house, my frames drop. But the second I look away from my house, it's normal again.
Oh, no. Okay. Oh, and then like you're saying it slowly. It's a mod that starts very inconspicuously. So it only infects one cube. And then like every, like maybe every in-game minute or something like that, another cube is added to that infection. And like, maybe the thing I love about this is like the idea that it's random, where it's like, okay, this could be infecting a cube in-game miles from you. But,
miles from you.
But like, there is a chance that it could infect the your spawn cube or like,
but hey, you'll notice when you'll be like, hey, you know, it's crazy. If I look north, my frame rate drops.
It's like, holy shit, what is the point horizon? I love it. Okay, and there is one way to fix this, though.
And this will teach all those motherfuckers that were like, look how beautiful Minecraft is when I put in ray tracing. It's like, yeah, dog, because it's like operating a game that's been running since like 2001. And then you have ray tracing over the top of it. Most cell phones could run Minecraft this beautiful.
No, what are you talking about? But it, like Minecraft ray trace water? Like, I feel like that shit will make your computer chug.
Nah, man. Anyone could do it now. Anyone. Because it's all squares. But if it were triangles, oof.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but technically it's already a triangle.
What?
Every digital games are made from polygons.
Don't talk to me anymore. Shut up.
It just increases the polygon count. sub polygons or whatever the hell it's called. Okay, I actually love that idea. Just like this super fun mod. But see, here's the thing though. We have to figure out how to get people to download it. So there has to be like some mod or something included in the mod to cover up this shitty mod. So it's like the
it's a mod to add in all the things that that the Minecraft studios decided not to put in. Like, you remember when they were like, hey, put in a vote, you can have baby cows or baby puppies, and people were like, baby puppies. We'll release a mod that's like, you want some baby cows?
Let me hit you
and triangles.
Let me hit you with this. What if we like do double down on the genius level move. So the mod does say, hey, we're bringing polygons to Minecraft. So now you can craft polygonal things, but underneath the surface is our hidden mod. So it's like, hey, oh man, I now have cobblestone, but I can build it as triangles. Or I have wood, but I can build it as triangles.
It's like, ah, way to go, idiot. You added a triangle. Those are infectious, don't you know?
No. They're completely separate entities. So like this is because we have to keep in mind. So it's like after this person installs the mod, their computer will start acting up. We can't give them any inclination that it's our mod that started fucking with them. So you install the mod, like, oh, I'm gonna put some triangles on like the street lamps outside my house. When you look at it, works perfectly. It's like, oh, okay, so that mod is completely good. It's clean. It's working all right. But then you turn around and look the opposite direction. It's like, man, why is everything fucking chugging in that direction?
Why is it so bad over there?
So then you look into the code and it's like, oh, it not only added buildable triangles, but it's added in this infectious cube that exponentially increases the polygons at play on every cube in the game. And it's just slowly, like, bit by bit, incrementally makes your world fucking unplayable. And the reason that's so insidious is because the longer you have access to that world, the more attached you're going to get to it, the more you've built things that really matter to you. And it's going to get fucking deleted. It's going to get 86'd. In the spirit of Minecraft, I would love to add one more thing before we close out the show.
One more. Hit me.
You get one. If you can find the zero site.
The source triangle
and destroy it, your game will get fixed. Because Minecraft is like one of those games where it's like you find your own story, or like you kind of discover things as you play. I think it'd be kind of fun to where it's like, oh, you now know this problem cube exists, and you'd be like, oh, I'm gonna go on an adventure.
Save your planet.
You could save your planet. It's like, hey, uninstall the mod and lose all of your fun triangles or whatever that you built over your world, or you go on a fucking adventure and defeat this multi-polygonal cube, or like this infectious cube or whatever.
And then you save the world. I love this.
And then you save the world. All right, AJ, what's our game? Is it our dumpster dive game?
It's dumpster diving. Yeah, it's Olympic dumpster diving, hands down.
Is that what we're calling it? Olympic dumpster diving?
I believe so, yeah.
All right. I'm down for that. That is a good game. Are we ready for patch notes?
I'm ready to go to patch notes. I'm very agreeable today, I've realized. Hey guys, welcome to Patch Notes. Just some general housekeeping really quick. I do want to apologize for this last week or two, I believe, for radio silence on some of our socials. Things have just been really, really wild for me working out my schedule, and I do feel kind of bad that the podcast has suffered for that. Starting up very soon here, I'm going to be reducing my hours of work to more normal hours, and I'll be able to give you guys and this show the proper attention you all deserve. And I want to say sorry for the delay and thank you for your patience.
And with that, we will see you next week.
As always, the intro and outro of our show is Cheap Shop by Anna Monoguchi, an excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game. I've been one of your hosts, AJ Hart.
And I have been your other host, Blake Rea.
This has been Spiritual Successor, and these are cool games
that should not be named.